let's look then at the Bible and at this passage from Luke chapter 15 and verses 13 to 17. We pick up the story again of the prodigal son or the lost son, and in particular the part where he goes off on a bit of a bender. So this is the story about the boy that went off on a bender, all right? Not long after that, the young son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth on wild living. The boy went off on a bender. That's what it says, nearly. After he'd spent everything, there was severe famine, in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to the citizen of that country, who sent him to his friends. He sent him to his fields to feed pigs. I really am going to have to wear my glasses, am I? He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. Now we're past it now. So. It's not going to get any better now. Thank you, Tony. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything to eat. St. Augustine said this, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Each person has a God-shaped hole. We are created to be in union with God. We are designed to connect with Him. We are not complete without Him. And that's what this boy found out. That's what this lad, when he went off and he did his thing, that's what he found out. Who hasn't gone off and squandered all the worldly wealth on, you know, wild living? Who hasn't done that, I say? Well, I don't know. Maybe one or two of us. But most of us have had a go at it in different ways. Maybe not quite as spectacularly as this, although some of us, we have, haven't we? But even though many of us, we can relate to this. We can relate to chasing after different things. We can relate to the fact that actually, you know, we've thought, oh, maybe if I have, you know, a better job, maybe if I have somebody who I could be with, maybe if I have this, you know, and maybe if this, then somehow I'll feel that that'll be me. I will feel complete. I will feel whole. I will feel, you know, just at peace. I will feel happy. And, you know, and that's what he did. That's what the boy did. He just thought, I've seen all of this stuff with my dad. I've been home. I've seen what that's all about. I'm going to try my luck at other things. I'm going to go off and see, you know, what are these other things. And often, they're the things that I'm sure that his dad was going, you don't really want to do that, boy, son. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go there. You know, if you do that, that'll be a disaster. That won't work out for you. And the boy, you know, as always happens, kind of goes, aye, right, dad. Shut up. What do you know? You're an old man. You know, you don't know anything. I'm feeling slight deja vu at the moment. Both in terms of, never mind that. Exactly. Anyway, the point about it is that actually that's common. That's what we see in the scripture. That's what we see in this particular story. And that's what we see again and again and again. And the temptation for all of us to do that is great. The temptation for all of us to do that is great. And it's because of the fact that actually we live in a culture and in a society and in a time that actually sort of says, you know, It's all about me. It's all about my stuff. It's all about the way that I think and the things that I should do. And actually, if I just get my way, then everything will be fine. And unfortunately, we see that doesn't work. And so we see rampant individualism. That's where we, the individual, are put first. And it doesn't matter. It's my way. Absolutely my way. And it doesn't matter the impact it has on everybody else. You know, because basically, it's about me. It's all about me. You know, it's not about you. It's not about anything else. And so what happens is people make decisions based on what satisfies them, what works for them, but actually the consequences of that, the impact of that on the folks around about them, even if it's sometimes utter carnage for everybody else. You know, and we've seen that. We know what that's like. We've experienced that. We've experienced the kind of rampant consumerism where basically it's all about my choice. It's about being able to buy happiness. It's about being able to sort of say, you know, well, I should be allowed to choose what I want to choose, and I should be allowed to have my way. And there's such, you know, and people cheer that on and sort of say, yes, you go for it. Quite right. You should have that right. You shouldn't have any. Nobody should be saying anything to you. Do you hear those voices? But actually, the consequences of that consumerist society is it's all around our world. I mean, we don't necessarily kind of make the connection between us going and doing the things that we do and the people who are living in Africa who can't actually kind of eat anything because there's no water, because the droughts are so bad, because we basically totally messed up the whole of the ecosystem. And it's not only our fault. And we kind of go, well, it's not just me. You know, it's not all everybody else. It's not reasonable for you to blame me. But at the same time, we make our choices. And our choices do have impacts. You know, and that's, again, that's the same stuff, isn't it? So there's kind of like, there's this stuff about individualism, it's my way. There's this thing about consumerism, you know, it's my choice. And there's this thing about intellectualism, which is basically my thoughts, my ideas, my way of doing things is better, and I don't care, you know, about anyone else. And actually, you know, I'm not interested in listening to anybody else's stuff. I'm just going to do my own thing. And all of these, leads to what that boy did. they lead exactly there, don't they? I'll put it in another way. Let's talk about sex, power, and money. Let's talk about sex. You know, when it's in its right context, it's fine. But in other times, it's, you know, it's about gratification. It's about me and my needs. It's about satisfying what I want. It's not about you. It's not about what you want. It's about what I want, regardless of the impact and the consequences that might have. Or even interestingly, in a less bolshy kind of way, it's actually about sort of saying, we give ourselves because we want to be wanted. You know, that's the other side of it. You know, and actually the needs that we have drive us into places that actually are unhealthy for us and damage us and cause all sorts of difficulties for us. What about power? Well, power is about control, isn't it? Power is about, you know, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to live my life in my way. I'm going to make this work. I don't need, and perhaps the negative side of it, I don't need to fear anybody else. I don't need to worry about, you know, you have no control over me anymore because I can do this now. What about money? Well, money, I can do what I want with it. I've got money. I can do what I want. I can buy happiness. And many of us have tried to buy happiness. And again, that's exactly what this boy did. He tried to buy happiness. And he realized that happiness isn't found in the way that he went about things. And listen, all of that sounds really grouchy and grumpy, doesn't it, when you sort of say it all like that? And it sounds really negative towards a lot of the values that actually are very strongly espoused within our culture. But I want to sort of say this: God is good. He is a good, good Father who wants to bless us and wants to give good gifts to us. You know, so when we think about all of these different things and all the different kind of negative ways you can look at it, what I want to say is a positive thing. What I want to say is this: God is the God who provides for us. He is a good, good Father who provides for us. That boy had everything that he needed. And even later when we hear it again, the Father takes him back and gives him even more. God is a God who provides what we need. He is not lacking. He's not stingy. He's not willing. He doesn't hold back to stop us from being blessed. In fact, he speaks to us and says, I come to give you life in all its fullness. He doesn't always give us what we want, but he does give us what we need. And often it is far more than we need, because he wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to others as well. So in contradiction to that thing of, you know, my way, my choices, my thoughts, my attitude, you know, God actually sort of says, you know, I am here as a good Father to give good gifts to you. I provide for you. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be anxious. You don't need to run off after these things in the world. Just If you are with me, I will provide for you. I will give you all that you need. But more than that, he says, I will fulfill your deepest longings. A lot of what often happens in the world is people run off after stuff because they think that they'll actually find it in these different places. In these things that we've talked about, just again, like the boy did, he ran off thinking, actually, I am going to get fulfillment by doing all of these other things. But God says, you know, I will give you the very best that you can have. I will fulfill the deepest longings of your life. I will give you a future. I will give you good things. I will give you hope. I will give you all that is required. There is a reason for you being here. It's not just a case of us drifting through life, but actually we're here for a reason. And he says, look, don't worry. I will fulfill these things. You don't need to go seeking fulfillment in other places, he says. Come to me, and I will give you the desires, the deepest longings and passions of your heart. Pursue him, and he will do that. So he provides and he fulfills, and he knows what's best. And that's perhaps one of the hardest things for us to come to in a world which has taught us that actually, you know, us just doing our thing and pushing everybody back and sort of saying it's my way and I'm not interested, you know, and I have the right to choose and I have the, and so much of that coming out of a positive agenda of empowering those who have been powerless. Let me just say that. I hear that. I understand that. I'm not cutting across that at all by saying anything today. We should be empowered. We should be encouraged to make decisions and to not feel fearful and not feel controlled by others. But what God is saying is, listen, I actually know the end from the beginning. I know every part of the circumstances. I know your history and I know your future. And so when I say I'm a good father that knows what's good for you, listen, you don't know the end from the beginning. I do. And listen, you just need to trust me in these things. And that is the hard bit. That is a hard bit, and I acknowledge that. I know that. I'm not pretending that that's not hard. So much of building a healthy, strong relationship with God is actually about exactly that. It's actually about the fact that we are being called to trust him, even though sometimes we, you know, we're not sure what's going to happen or how it's going to pan out. We're not sure exactly how. You know, we look at the circumstances of our life and we think, it doesn't look as though it's going in the right direction, God. You know, it doesn't look as though I'm getting my heart's desires fulfilled. It doesn't look as though I'm actually, you know, and we shake and we begin to kind of be unsure and we begin to kind of like, and then we begin to kind of go, maybe I need to actually take control back. Maybe I need to have a go at this. Maybe I need to have a go at that. Maybe I need to make this work. Maybe I need to work harder. Maybe I need to. And then what happens is we become anxious and we become, you know, folks who struggle to connect with God because actually we are increasingly taking back the role that we gave to him, which was that he would be the Lord of our life. We invited him into our lives and we said, you are, Jesus, you are King, you're Lord of my life, I submit to you. And this is where this teaching, I suppose, is where it lands within the church. Because many of us would sort of say, well, that's interesting, but that was what I was like before. I ran off and I, you know, I squandered my worldly wealth on wild living. You know, I did that in the past. But now I'm here. I'm a Christian and I don't do that kind of thing. And I just want to sort of say, really? Maybe not quite as blatantly as that. Maybe not quite as obviously as that. But actually, the same issues which this boy faced are the same ones that we face. The same challenges of actually feeling that perhaps God won't provide. Perhaps God won't fulfill. Perhaps God doesn't really know the best. And we get, you know, we get kind of tense, don't we? And we kind of go, oh, I'm going to take that bit back. You're not actually giving me enough money. I'm going to... I'm not seeing the circumstances changing fast enough. I'm going to prod a little, make things happen. And listen, everybody understands that. Nobody's condemning that. All I'm saying is that actually, you know, more and more, God is calling us to lean in to the relationship with him. Okay? To lean into the relationship with him. to trust him, that he will provide, that he will fulfill, that he does know best, that he is actually a good, good father who wants to give good gifts to his children. And as we do that, and as we make that choice, because let me tell you, it's a choice. Every time, it's a choice. Every moment where we are tempted to sort of say, I'll just take that bit back, I'll just take that bit back. It's a choice to either sort of say, no, actually, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to hold it with an open hand rather than I'm going to grab it. In those moments, we are learning to lean into the relationship with God. And as we do that, what we find is this. What we will find is this. That God is good. That God is good all the time. And actually, it's a strange thing, because actually what happens is we lean into it, we learn these things, and then we discover that actually in doing so, we are ourselves being changed. So we lean in thinking, you know, we have all these sort of hopes and desires and thoughts, and actually we lean in and we embrace more of Christ, and Christ embraces more of us, and we change in such a way that actually, you know, some of the stuff that was important to us before just falls away. And some of the ways of thinking, you know, aren't there anymore. And suddenly we're learning to flow with the things of God, and actually finding life comes as we do that. Hope comes as we do that. Fulfillment comes as we do that. And we look back at where we were, you know, a year ago or 5 years ago or, you know, 10 years ago for some of us, and we say, I can't believe the difference in who I've become. I never would have made these decisions 10 years ago or 5 years ago or even a year ago. But as we do that, we find ourselves more and more, you know, enmeshed with God. We find ourselves more and more consumed by him. And in that, and as we give ourselves to God, what happens is this, that actually we find, you know, we just find our everything. We find that actually there in that place of just flowing with God, of leaning into God, we find that actually he answers all our prayers. It's not easy to lean into God. It's not easy not to run off and squander your wealth and wild living, you know, even in the small things. But God is sort of saying to us today, you know, I'm a good, good father who gives good gifts to his children. Will you just trust me now? Lean in. I won't let you fall. Lean in. I won't drop you. Lean in. I will carry you. Our loving Heavenly Father, we are so aware of the voices that speak in our heads, that even now, maybe for some, are just screaming in our heads, you know, this cannot be the way. You know, I've fought and kicked and screamed and finally got myself free from the control and the abuse and the fear of others. How can I come to that place once again of trusting anybody to be really good? And Lord, I just pray for each one that feels like that just now. I pray, Lord, that you would heal their hearts, that you would take them to the deepest places brokenness, and that, Lord, that they would truly be able to exchange their ashes for beauty today. That they would be able to leave behind today, here in this place, the brokenness and the fear and the anxiety that any thought of trusting anybody, again, it causes anxiety to rise. But Lord God, you're not like anyone else. You are a good father that gives good gifts to his children. And so I pray that today, that temptation just to say, I can't lean in. I can't trust you. I don't know whether or not you'll catch me. Nobody else has ever caught me. I've always fallen. I've always been broken because of that. That, Lord, today we would take that first step just to do that thing, to be able to just lean in gently and to find that you are right there with us. And Father, we pray for one another, just for those of us who kind of get close and say yes, and then who see the circumstances of life and then start grabbing stuff back again, kind of anxious about control, what happens if, the money's not there, or what happens if I don't get the job, what happens if I don't have that relationship, what happens if, and we begin to pull it back to ourselves and sort of say, I can make a better job of it. And Lord, we just want to confess, we're really not making a better job of it. We're really not. You are the God who fulfills. You are the God who provides. You are the God that knows best. And so, Lord, we pray that you just help us to make that decision today. In any area of our life affected by this, that we would submit once more to you. That we would submit ourselves once more to you. That once more we would remove ourselves from the throne of our life, get off the throne, and that once more we would invite you to be Lord of our life. Would you do this, we pray? None of these things are easy, Lord. All of them are challenging. We pray that you would send your Spirit now to refresh us, to encourage us, and that together we would be able to respond to your word. Lord, what are you saying to us today? And what do you want us to do about it? Let's just for a moment, let's just be quiet and let the Lord, personalize this message for you. So just in this moment, in silence, just let him speak to you. So, Lord God, we ask for your strength, your power, your love to so flow through us that we can do what it is that you've called us to today. And so now go, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you. And all those that you love, now and forevermore. Amen.